Hey, everybody. Yeah, I see you. I remembered at the last minute to pull my music up, so I'm fooling with that. Hello. Yeah. I've got this mic right in front of me, so it'll be in place so we can do this, our glimpses with Locke Kelly. You guys probably know that I was reading Locke Kelly's book, The Way of Effortless Mindfulness, and the guidance, what seemed best, was to quit reading Locke Kelly's book, but to keep the glimpse practices. So as the beginning of this program, the remainder of the program being me looking at my journals. So anywho, I want to start with the Locke Kelly glimpses. And before I start, I'm going to tell you that there's two here right together where he's contrasting experiencing attention and experiencing local awareness. So we're going to do them both. And so let me put some music on. Excuse me. All right, let's see. Oh, you'd think this would be easy. Done it 1,000 times. Never easy. Can turn this music down a little bit. And then I'm going to share my screen and narrate along every step. Let's see. I'm going to share my screen. That's what I'm going to do. And my sound. Okay. How's that sound, Dawn? Okay. Okay, good. I believe you now. Two thumbs up means yes. All right. So. The thing I'm going to do is do this glimpse of experiencing attention. So this is an eyes open glimpse. So look at one of your hands. Move that hand out of your vision and bring attention to that hand. Try to continue applying your attention there for a short while. Okay, that's the glimpse. So let me ask you. No, that was short. Short and sweet. Let me ask you, though, what Locke asked in the book. He says, what was your experience of attention like? Dawn.
Okay, so curiously enough, when I look back and I compare and contrast the experience when I was just looking at my hand versus when I put it down out of the way, when I looked at my hand, all the energy was up here in my eyeballs, and just this whole, everything was just all about this image. That's it.
Yes.
And I noticed there, I didn't feel any aliveness, no felt sense of anything. This, like, almost the nanosecond I put my hand back and down, like where it was, like you said, put it out of your way of your vision. Immediately I went into the felt sense of that, like, it feels like electricity, or just the feelingness of the energy going through your hand and that flow of just aliveness. So, and it was so peculiar because I've noticed that before, ever since I started practicing, noticing inner energy body, although we know that's a loose translation because eventually you see there is no inner. I've noticed that before, but this time what was peculiar to me was how much when I was just looking at the hand, I didn't feel that. Now that was what was interesting. That was like, oh, well then. So thank you for that.
Cool. That's really cool. Dawn, that's really cool. Cause what comes to mind when you talk about that, I'm now also multitasking again. I'm trying to get my earbuds in. Hang on. What comes to mind is that when you look at it like that, it's like almost as it's another. You're looking at other than you. Yeah. Yeah. Rather than feeling it from the inside out. Yeah. So cool. So let's see what he wants to tell us about that before we move on to our next glimpse. He says, initially, when you use attention to focus, you may feel that your head, where your brain and eyes are located, is your central place of perceiving. When you bring your attention to your hand, does it feel like you are in your head looking down at your hand? Or does it seem as if you are shining a flashlight from your head to your hand? Or do you feel connected as if a telephone cable is running from your head to your hand and sending signals back and forth? Do you feel how attention can wander? Are you able to feel that maintaining attention is a continuous process of remembering and forgetting? Okay, now let's try the experiencing. That was experiencing attention. Now let's try experiencing local awareness. I will share again. Okay. Unhook local awareness from thought and let local awareness begin to move down through your neck and know your shoulder from within. Slowly, move local awareness like a knowing, invisible bubble down your arm into your elbow. Feel the awareness of space and sensation directly from within. Your hand from within. Experience this new type of knowing that is happening directly from within your hand. Inside and out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me just read you what Locke says about the contrast between these two modes of experience. He says, notice the way in which local awareness knows your body directly from within. Once local awareness has unhooked, thought is no longer the primary mode of knowing. Yet thought is available as needed. If you do not reference a memory or image of your hand, your experience of your hand shifts into direct knowing. Direct knowing is spacious, alive, and more fluid in feeling than attention. So he asked us right after that first glimpse, experiencing attention, he says, are you able to feel that maintaining attention is a continuous process of remembering and forgetting? So when we're like, just when we're focused on our hand, and then we move it and we're like, oh yeah, I remember what my hand looked like a minute ago. You know, and then, you know, your attention wants to wander and then you bring it back. Oh yeah, I'm focusing on my hand. And how different that is from when we're not attempting to do that at all, but to feel our hand from within, to feel from awareness, not using thought. And as I read this, I just want to read this again. If you do not reference a memory or image of your hand, your experience of your hand shifts into direct knowing. And you can see how this would be applicable to experience in general. You know, if I think that I know what this experience is going to contain, then I'm once removed from the experience, right? I'm experiencing an image of the actual experience, rather than a direct knowing of the experience itself. And this is what we do when we stay in our heads all the time. It's a filter. It's a once removed. You know, Michael Singer says we do that to make ourselves more comfortable. Oh, I know what this experience is. I've done it before, and that, you know, and that keeps me in my comfort zone. But to actually just drop all the thoughts about what I'm experiencing, you know, that might seem as a little scary, but that's where the juice is, right? That's where life is, not my interpretation of it. So I think that's where Locke is pointing us to practice with experiencing local awareness in that way. Okay, that's Locke Kelly. Does anybody want to share their experience before we move on? Yeah, Susan.
Well, I was just amazed at the fact that I have never been aware that I even had a mental image of my hand. So when we got to that point and he said, you know, you're no longer having the mental image, that awareness kicked in. And another thing that occurred to me is how powerful that practice is. Last night, Regina was talking about, you know, the obvious little things that we do that really affect the bigger things that are happening around us, and the practice, the importance of practice of the small. And I was thinking, you know, this is powerful, powerful toolkit stuff, you know?
It's
I'd
amazing,
never even
isn't
considered it?
It
before. Yeah.
The tiniest thing. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing, Susan. I really appreciate it. George, you're the only other live body here. No, the only other one I can see. Yeah. You want to speak?
Sure. You know, that's a practice that I've been doing for quite some time. And you know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. So it's one of my favorite.
Cool. So we'll keep it up. Thank you. Thanks for sharing, George. All right, so let's look at let's look at my journal. But where do we start? That's the question. Cheryl, we did the glimpse for you, and you were making lunch. So this is an entry, and I'm just teasing Cheryl. You're free to move about however you like in your own home there. this is an entry from December the 8th. And I wanted to skip this one, so that's a good reason to read it. So I'm not quite sure what it says, but I'll read it and see if it takes us anywhere. Hey, Dolores, I'm glad you're here. I won't tell your boss that you're at work. I mean, that you're doing this while you're at work. welcome. Okay. So on December the 8th, I said, hello, Father. I feel like I have been spinning my wheels, running in place, killing time, and I'm over it. I felt compelled to write with you today and regularly. I also feel compelled to ask you about today's lesson in A Course in Miracles. I will not be afraid of love today. Okay, I know now why I didn't want to read this lesson. Here's the first line answer from Inner Wisdom. The one you are experiencing yourself to be still wishes to be exalted. Damn it. this one cannot be exalted, but at the expense of the true self. To exalt the one is to proclaim it is true. Such proclamation is a denial of truth, a denial of the one self that you are. Let me not be afraid of love today means let me not be afraid of not knowing. Wow. That's powerful, right? I mean, because the one that I would exalt, the Jacqueline, wants to know, wants to have all the answers, wants to be sure all the time, never wants to step into that wobble, and always wants to know what the next moment will hold, and which is, you know, it's ironic after having just looked at this Log Kelly thing. I want that bubble around me to protect me from experience, because experience is not knowing. It's not having an image of what I'm experiencing. I think it's just really cool too how it coincides with the lesson that day. I will not be afraid of love today. What is love? Love is the willingness to sit in the wobble. Love is the willingness to experience life as it comes on its own terms, not needing to have the answers. Again, Inner Wisdom says, let me not be afraid of love today means let me not be afraid of not knowing. Let me walk confidently into the wobble without the need to be understood, sustained, or comfy. Your comfort is not the goal. Were it the goal, a handful of whatever is popular in the moment would indeed be a real cure. you need only ask me repeatedly to guide you, and you will be guided. If you wish to decide for yourself, you may do so. Therefore, the key is to make conscious what might otherwise go unnoticed. When you have an upset, when you feel put down, let down, underestimated, or threatened, bring that to me. You need not avoid those feelings nor deny them. Bring them to me and say, this is what I appear to be feeling. Help me to bring them to me and say, this is what I appear to be feeling. Help me to transcend the fear that creates those feelings. The idea is not to get rid of the fear, The goal is to look directly at the feelings and let them tell you what you are fearful of and thus what you are still believing. And that seems significant because it seems like the knee jerk, the seemingly automatic response is to say, help me not be fearful. But that's not the goal. That's not the work. The work is to not be fearful. The work is to look at what is to really look, is to be in the fear. What am I fearful of? I can only be fearful based on a belief in my mind. So if I feel the fear, it's a red flag going, let's look at what's going on here. There is nothing to fear, only my belief. So the request is, this is what I appear to be feeling. Help me to transcend the fear that creates those feelings. The idea is not to get rid of the fear. The goal is to look directly at the feelings and let them tell you what you're fearful of and thus what you're still believing. Inner wisdom says, as you know, there's never any cause for fear or boredom. If you are feeling either, you are believing the stories of the mind. It is the commitment to release the stories of the mind that must be adhered to. In this week's general healing class, we were looking at it was 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And I think it was Jude that was talking about making the commitment to awakening, which is the same commitment that's asked for here. It is the commitment to release the stories of mind that must be adhered to. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about, in general healing last night, we spent a lot of time talking about what the nature of the commitment is. And someone had expressed what they heard when they heard, hey, you got to make a commitment. And what they heard was, you got to give up all desires. You got to give up a human life. You got to all day long, only pray, only meditate, only, you know, work, right? No fun, no joy. And that's ego's interpretation of, hey, you got to make a commitment here. And that's not what's being asked for. What's being asked for is simply this. It is the commitment to release the stories of the mind. That's the commitment. Well, that's not that hard, right? That doesn't mean I can't ever have any more fun, that I won't have any more desires. That's not what that says. It's the commitment to turn from the false, from the stories of the mind, and turn towards the true. If you are experiencing anything other than perfect joy, you can be assured that you are believing stories. Full stop. If you're experiencing anything other than perfect joy, you can be assured that you are believing stories. Simple. It doesn't say that makes you bad. Oh, you're not doing your work again. Are you feeling perfect joy? Guess what? You can. You can. It's really simple. Just quit believing the stories. That's all this is saying. And, you know, again, ego goes, commitment. Oh, I'm not feeling perfect joy. I must be bad. I'm not doing my work. It's not about that. This is a prescription for freedom. Perfect joy is freedom. If you're experiencing anything other than perfect joy, you can be assured that you are believing stories. Full stop. Ask me to help you see what story you are believing in any given moment. We will find a way to make it visible to you. Merely making it visible enables you to choose between belief and disbelief. So that's step number one, willingness. to see what's really going on in here. Willingness to see the stories. And I got to tell you, every time I slow a story down enough to write it down in the journal, I go, oh my God, that's so stupid. I mean, you know, it's just so absurd, every story. But if I don't stop it, you know, freeze it in time so that I can capture it, I don't see how absurd it is. I'm just listening to that insanity that's going on in here without questioning it. Merely making it visible enables you to choose between belief and disbelief. So if I'm not capturing that story, that absurd story that's going on in here, I'm just believing it. I'm believing it and acting on it. Yeah, and so, you know, this was written December 8th, and I'm like, oh, I want to journal all the time. Well, I didn't until very recently, again, start journaling again. But that's exactly what it's talking about, bringing this into a place where I can see it. Denying that you are believing stories keeps you stuck. And how sweet is this? It says, I love you and I look forward to our game. You know, I'm not asking for you to work, for you to like sacrifice. It's a game and I'm looking forward to playing it with you. let's see. And then I wrote down some stories that I believed. It says yesterday, and then in parentheses it says last week. So I guess I expanded that. And I'll read them to you. It is shameful not to have a better answer for explain your background. And I was at the Mercantile, and I asked. I was sitting next to a woman who. Runs a yoga studio. And it's funny because I asked her this question, you know, what's your training? Please tell me your background, you know, in this thing that you do for a living. Explain your background. So we talked about it for a little bit. And then I told her what I do. And she asked me to explain my background. I'm like, well, It was not pretty. But anyway, so we'll look some more at that particular one, I think. But that's one of the and then was ashamed. Felt, you know, brought up all those feelings of being a fraud and all that stuff. You know, who am I to, you know, say I'm a vice president, minister, and, you know, all of that silly stuff. So anyway, that's one of the stories that I believed yesterday/last week. Another, I cannot relate to normal people except through ego. my thoughts about how easy or how difficult something is affect how difficult or easy something is. Not sure this is a story. Maybe though, accepting blame for sight. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that I can interpret that. And there's another one that I wanted to skip over, but I'll read it to you. Dag on it. It says, it is shameful to be married without being in a real relationship. Yeah. And you guys know Tom's here, then he's not here. Now he's getting a place in Pueblo and blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. Yeah. But that's the story. So when somebody says, are you married? I go, ooh, and can't answer that one either. Again, based on these feelings of shame around whatever, but the story that's being told is, my God, you don't even know whether you're married or not. You don't even know what your relationship looks like. You don't even know what these unspoken agreements are between you and your husband. Oh, my God, you are such a loser. That's the story. I'm just saying. I want to say I don't believe that. I certainly don't believe that as I'm sitting here, but that's the story that gets told. And if I don't examine it, I just believe it. I just go, yeah, I'm married, kind of. Again, I got to slow it down. I got to tell it. What insanity am I listening to? And that's just one of them, right? And that goes on all day long. All right. In fact, I must. Yeah, Don, do you mind if I read your comment? Okay, I got it. And I said, well, I'm not believing it right now, but the truth is I am believing that right now. I didn't want to read that comment to you guys. I mean, I didn't want to read that that story. I have a list of them here. I didn't want to read that one to you all. So there's still shame here. Right? There's still shame. Yeah. That I'm believing.
Yeah, but you're sharing it with us, which is a great step.
Ah, Sharon, thank you. You're so supportive. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
So let me read you what after I made this list. I said, I felt shame when asked what my background was relating to my role with Awakening Together. I felt like I was a fraud. Who am I to pretend to be a spiritual leader? What's my training? And then I said, ha ha, written out like that, it seems silly. George, go ahead.
You know, it's been a few years ago. I don't know if this series is still aired, but there was a program called Wife Swap. Did any of you guys ever watch that?
Yeah.
And I watched a few episodes of that, and I realized there is no such thing as a normal relationship, a normal family.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, they were all wacko on that show, right? I mean, every single couple. I mean, they had their just really weird stuff going on in those relationships. Yeah, and that was a good show because, yeah, you got to see how wacky people were when they tried to do the same thing with other people. Thanks for sharing that, George. So I'm looking at this shame that I felt about my inability to answer what my background was relating to my role with Awakening Together. I felt like I was a fraud. Who am I to pretend to be a spiritual leader? What's my training? And I said, ha ha, written out like that, it seems silly. Perhaps my answer is, I don't know. I just woke up one day. Why would that answer not be sufficient? Why would that answer not be sufficient? And when I say I woke up one day, ego goes, oh, you're awake. Yeah, right. What I mean, truly what I mean, is that I woke up to the futility of anything else, of leading a life where self-realization was not my central goal. You know, you make all the money in the world, you can have all the respect in the world, you can have all the prestige, you can have the best retirement, and so what? That's what I woke up to. I say, I see that I was believing ego or the judge's story that I'm a fraud. That story is a recurring story that is not true. And recognizing that insane story as a recurring story is crucial, is helpful, is critical. Um, you know, recognizing, again, Inner Wisdom taught us that a moment ago, recognizing all of the stories is crucial, is critical. Because if, again, if I don't freeze them and get them down here in a little box where I can look at them, I'm just running on those stories. Just run. Tell me more. So, and this is an interesting contrast. Last time, although I lost it somewhere in my journal, last time I was here, I read you from the journal entry that came between that one and the one I'm getting ready to read you now. But it's, so it's funny how these are turning up on the page here, because this writing that I'm getting ready to read you is from yesterday's assignment in gentle healing. And we were asked to write answers to contemplate, actually, to contemplate the questions. What am I? How is it true that I am forever innocent? How can I see myself as God does? What can I do differently that will help me realize my changeless nature? And what is the best question for me to ask? So when I asked, what am I? I wrote, you are both the receiver and the creator of that which is. Which is really funny, given in light of Regina's Tao Te Ching teaching, isn't it? That's what she was just telling us. Yeah, funny. You are both the receiver and the creator of that which is. You are that without which nothing is. Though you imagine yourself to be a mind encased within a body, nothing could be further from the truth. You are not that which can be designated. All that occurs, occurs within you. This is not arrogance, because the you of which I speak is that which you have imagined to be beyond yourself. This is because you have imagined yourself to be that which you are not. You feel the truth of these words because you recognize them as the truth of your being. Bye, George. He's gone. So the first thing that popped up for me there is was well, that's pretty arrogant. I'm what? I'm everything. I'm all that is. And that was addressed. This is not arrogance, because again, because it's not addressed to Jacqueline. It's addressed to the true self. This is not arrogance, because the you of which I speak is that which you have imagined to be beyond yourself. So, you know, when we talk about this, and I certainly teach, you are the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is you. But there's still a separation in my mind. There's still a belief that all the goodness, all the life, all the creative ability is something other than me. Welcome back, iPhone George. It says, you also feel fear or anxiety. This is because, for the most part, you have considered yourself to be something other than this unlimited creative beingness that is. You now feel you must be wrong, or that there must be something wrong with you in your failure to consistently recognize the truth of your being, which is just funny. It's like, oh, tell me I'm everything. Well, wait, let me beat myself up first for not recognizing that 5 minutes ago. I mean, it's insanity. It's ego, and it's insanity. And inner wisdom recognizes as much. Inner wisdom says your failure, in quotes, your failure in consistency is merely evidence of your desire, not your truth. You have desired to play in the infinite ground of being, and in order to do so, you pretended to be something other than that which you are. You know well and good that this is merely a game that you play. And isn't that the truth? Don't we know that? At the depth of our being, we know that. We know that. Just remember to rest within your truth and both your quote-unquote ability. Just remember to rest within your truth and both your ability to do so and your desire to have it thus will return to you. All is well. Quit freaking out. Quit being so hard on yourself. So quit being so critical. Go play. Have a good time. And then I ask the next question. How is it true that I am forever innocent? You ask how you can be innocent when so many seem to suffer and die, when you seem to be able to find cruelty and attack within yourself. Because you are who you are, there is nothing that would or could be denied you. All is well. I am told again, all is well. The you to which I speak is like the child with dolls. And, you know, you all probably remember Regina's story where she makes this point. She talks about the kid playing with the Barbie and the Ken. And so she makes Barbie stab Ken. You know, isn't the child still innocent? Has anything really happened if Barbie stabs Ken in the child's play? No. Remember, it is a pretense.
That was great.
Remember, it is pretense. See it as such. See it as such. And you will see that there is nothing that need be atoned for. All that is required is that you remember who you are and where you are. You are infinity itself. You are that in which time and space have no meaning. All is well. You cannot change infinity. You cannot waste infinity. You are. Nothing can be lost within isness. Thus, regardless of the games that you play, you are and will always be that. Well, that takes a load off, huh? It just does. There's no responsibility to do this right. Right? There's no responsibility to, again, it's a little bit more subtle here, but it's again, it's like what we looked at last night in general healing. It's ego would say, if you don't do it exactly this way, if this isn't your focus 24 hours a day, you are messing up. And the whole world is suffering because of your inconsistency. It's just another story that I'm listening to. That's not true. You are infinity itself. You are that in which time and space have no meaning. All is well. You cannot change infinity. You cannot waste infinity. You are. Nothing can be lost within isness. The idea that it's possible to lose something, the idea that it's possible to mess something up, mess this thing up, that's not truth. That's ego insanity. Thus, regardless of the games that you play, you are and will always be that. You are and will always be that. And then I asked, as was the lesson, how can I see myself as God does? First, you recognize that you and God are not separate beings. There is no God in that sense. There's only beingness. You know, and still, it's little old me and the guy up in the sky, or whatever conception I have of infinity or the universe or beingness. There's beingness and me. Right? And that's just not the way it works. There is only beingness. Beingness merely is, and therefore merely allows, or rather provides the space that is the background of all else. Without beingness, nothing is. To be beingness, merely be nothing else. Wow. That's really powerful. Yeah. To be beingness, merely be nothing else. To see beingness, merely see nothing else. Now, you do seem to see something other than beingness. This is part of the play, indeed, the point of the play. When you tire of the play, merely trace your way back to your full sight by recognizing that all you see is beingness. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no, oh, I wish I hadn't have, and I, gosh, I ought to. Just recognize it for what it is. It's just beingness, everything that I see. It is impossible that there be more or less right or wrong, big or small in beingness. It is all that which is. It can never be different. And then the question is, what can I do differently that will help me realize my changeless nature? Here, your fear once again arises. You fear that you're doing this wrong. Recognize that there is no getting this wrong. Recognize that you have merely received the invitation to awaken. Wake up. Whether you choose to accept that invitation is entirely up to you. Recognize that if you do not accept the invitation or do not accept it fully, you are not bad. You are loved. You are loved wholly. The invitation is merely a call to the whole sonship, you, to come in from your play. Because your beingness cannot be changed, it matters not whether you accept the invitation. Your acceptance must be based upon a genuine desire or curiosity about the depth of your true nature. Now, and that's really interesting because maybe it was Regina that was just recently teaching this. But it can't be about guilt. Oh, I don't meditate enough. I better meditate more. You know? Oh, I should be kinder. I'm not very kind. I'll be kinder. You know, it can't be about that. That's more play, right? That's more belief in the insanity. Your acceptance must be based, the acceptance of the invitation to awaken, your acceptance must be based upon a genuine desire or curiosity about the depth of your true nature. The movie The Nines is an excellent representation of this point. You hold all the cards. You create all the characters. The characters have no effect on you, the truth of you. Your choice as to whether to accept the invitation has no lasting consequences, no ill effects. Yeah, thanks, Don. Sorry. Your choice as to whether to accept the invitation has no lasting consequences, no ill effects. If you want to wake up to the truth of you, you are invited to do so. Again, what a load off, right? It's such a clean prompt at that point. I've removed everything that the confused mind would put on the call, the invitation to awaken. It's just clean. It's like, oh my God, how does this work? I'm so curious. This is so fun. I'm so excited. You know, there's no, all right, I'll do it. Yeah, and that's just, again, it's just the, how ego distorts everything. If you want to wake up to the truth of you, you are invited to do so. And then I asked, as per the homework, what is the best question for me to ask? What would you have me do now is always the best question. It is this that will lead you from the play of Leela, if you so desire. If your question is, how do I achieve my heart's desire? This is the answer. Ask, and ask often. You will lead yourself from your slumber and laugh upon your awakening. All is well. And then this is from this morning. And I asked, what would you share with me today to help me maintain the proper focus? So as I sat down, first of all, let me say that last night somebody said in General Healing their guidance was to meditate upon awakening. And I went, oh, my God, that's for me. That's my guidance. Let me write that down. Let me do it. And I did do that this morning. I meditated. I did the lesson. I journaled. It was perfect. And I'm just so grateful to be able to hear what I need to hear. And so as I sat after meditating, after reading the lesson, I asked for what question I should ask in my journaling. And this was the question that I was given. What would you share with me today to help me maintain the proper focus? And the answer, you are right to ask. What would you have me see in myself? You are right to ask, what would you have me see in myself that I do not see? Today, I would have you see how much energy you put into resistance to that which is, to that which needs to be done. This energy is the energy of fear, the fear of getting it wrong, the fear of regret, the fear of sleeping. Again, you need not worry that you are incapable of doing what I ask you to do. If you do what I ask, when I ask, that's all that is required to move you forward on your path. Fear, regret, guilt, none of these are me. Ask merely what is given you to do and do it. How could that require more than you are able to give? That is what you fear, is it not? It is impossible that you be asked to give more than you are able. You can see that I ask only for your willingness, your openness to see. Rest assured that you have been given all the skill, the time, and the desire that you need to move forward with grace and ease. You are not alone in your desire. All the universe desires, as you do, to know itself. All that you need, you have been given. In you, we are well pleased. And I think what deserves further exploration in that is, you know, transitioning to this new position and awakening together. I think that brings up a lot of fear that I have not yet acknowledged, looked at squarely. I think that's what's being addressed. What position? Well, we haven't made the formal announcement yet, but um, and we're going to have a special member meeting on this, but basically, Sharon, Regina is moving to a new role, as am I. Regina is moving to a founding minister role, and I am moving into the president minister role. Basically, that will allow Regina to focus more on the creative aspects of her job, if you will, you know, writing the retreats, writing MPP, writing books, and all of that good stuff. And I will move into the administrative tasks that have kept Regina from being about that. That's the short of it. But for more information, feel free to come to the member meeting. Go ahead.
Well, that's wonderful. I think you're going to be wonderful. I mean, you already are. Who's going to take your job?
It's going to kind of stay open. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're not going to have a formal vice president minister at this time. But who knows? That could change on a dime. So.
Right. Oh, I'm happy for you.
Oh, Sharon, you're so sweet. Isn't she sweet and supportive, y'all?
I have no picture today. Sometimes I get a picture, sometimes I don't. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's good to see you anyway, Sharon. It's good to see your name and hear from you.
Okay. Thank you, Jacqueline. Okay.
Thank you. All right, gang. That's it for me. In fact, I've eaten up at least 1 minute of Dawn's time. Apologize, Dawn. Love you guys. See you next time. Bye.